Good morning. Sounded more like a question. Good morning. It's so good to see all of you here today. And whether you are a visitor or a longtime member, you are so welcome here, and it's so great to see you. And let's be sure to sign in with the friendship pad at the end of each pew so we know who all was here for attendance today. For announcements today, we can just look at the upcoming events on the back of your bulletin. I think most youth and youth parents know this, but there is no youth group this evening, still observing spring break, and we'll be back on regular schedule next Sunday. If you want to submit anything to our Westminster newsletter, the deadline is Wednesday to Sally. And then big things happening next Sunday. It's Palm Sunday, and so you can take a look at your blue insert, and that'll tell you all the information about our lunch and our Easter egg hunt. So there's the blue insert. Also, if you are interested in Easter lilies, that is the yellow insert here. Also, next Sunday, we have a session meeting at 6. And again, we have week 5 of our Lenten devotional series coming up. So do we have any other announcements we'd like to add? All right, no announcements. So let us prepare our hearts to worship Almighty God.
Please join me in the call to worship. In the light of this day, we have gathered. In the song and silence, we will listen. In our praise and our prayers, we will remember. So let us worship God. Thank you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, may we wake each morning with our hearts set upon the wonder of your love and grace. With each new day, remind us of the wonder of your creation so that our lives will be filled with praise. For you sent Jesus Christ into the world to redeem us, and through the hope which comes from your word, we find peace, comfort, and strength to follow Christ's lead. We pray on this Lord's Day that you will make yourself known to us, that we might join in the eternal song of the angels as we sing your praise. During this hour of worship, proclaim your message to us and challenge us to live according to your word, so that our lives will reflect your love to this broken world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When we seek God's mercy, we draw close to the mystery of faith, love that cannot be undone by our sin. Trusting that God is grace, let us offer to God the truth of our lives and join together in prayer. Holy Lord, God of life, hear our prayer. Forgive us when we follow those paths that do not lead to life, that lead instead to violence or hate or fear, paths that lead to dread and death. Forgive us when we forget that you offer us life, life that is abundant and eternal, life that began at the creation of all things. Forgive us, turn us to the right path, and let your love and grace flow over us and the world. Hear our silent prayers as we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake.
Please be seated. Because our ever-present God showers us with love and grace, let us now return our tithes and offerings to God. Lord God, here are the gifts we present to you. May they express our love for Jesus Christ, and may they be used for his glory, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our prayer for illumination, will you please read with me? Living God, help us to hear your holy word, that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow in all faithfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Also, our Psalter today is Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. I will read, and then you will sing to the tune of 166 in your hymnal. Please. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence, and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Our scripture reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with seeds of humans and the seed of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of everyone who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Our anthem this morning is Happy Are They by Natalie Sleeth.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, Jesus says, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. As I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. A few Sunday evenings ago, our Westminster youth went over to Austin Heights Baptist Church to join with their youth for a pizza, movie, and discussion night. The movie was Avatar, and if you haven't seen it, it's a sci-fi epic adventure film about humans who visit another planet to explore its terrain and its resources and get to know its very tall, lean, and blue inhabitants. Our discussion based on this movie was centered around connectedness, how the characters in the movie and how we also in real life are connected to the natural world, to each other, and to God. It was all about life together in community. And it was fun to watch the little community of our youth group interact with the small group, youth group from Austin Heights, and realize that together we made an even bigger community. But we also had this other youth group joining us who made our community even bigger and better and sometimes even more interesting that evening. My friend Sarah, who is the associate pastor at Austin Heights, explained that sometimes a number of girls from a nearby foster care ranch take part in their youth group. It's always a little unexpected how many will attend or who will attend, because Sarah explained that the turnover at the ranch takes place so often. At any time, any of the girls may be moved to a new foster care facility or to stay with a new family, or they may be in the hospital or in juvenile detention. But regardless of how many of these girls showed up, they were always, always a vital part of the Austin Heights community. Many of the girls from the ranch had made professions of faith and were interested in baptism. Some were exploring. They were curious about who this Jesus person is and was. A few were skeptical, though. They were skeptical and they had lots of questions. But all of them were welcome, and all were invited to ask all of their questions and say all of the things that were on their hearts and minds. So that's what happened that Sunday evening when we visited Austin Heights. A lively discussion developed over the very passage that's our topic for today, John chapter 15, where Jesus declared that he's the vine, and his Father's the vine grower, and we are the branches growing out of that vine. These are words and images that felt so familiar and comforting to me, and I suppose for many of the others gathered in the youth room at Austin Heights that night, but not for one young woman from the foster ranch. She talked a lot and loudly that evening. She was actually pretty aggressive during the conversation, and she could not let go of the way Jesus delivered his message in John chapter 15. She would throw her hands up in the air and say things like, "Why is Jesus acting so rude and full of it here? Apart from me, you can do nothing. He sure thinks a lot of himself." Associate Pastor Sarah's brother was leading the discussion, and he tried, bless his heart, to give the girl plenty of space to share her thoughts while gently steering her away from that negative perspective. But she just could not let it go. Even when we moved on to other discussion topics, she would keep coming back to it. And she was relentless in her view of an arrogant Jesus. Meanwhile, my mind raced to think of just the right thing to say to help her understand the wonderful Jesus I knew and loved. I thought about telling her something ridiculously academic about how the Gospel of John likely was written many decades after Jesus' death and resurrection, and people had had lots of time to reflect theologically about who Jesus was and is, and that's why John's Gospel can sound so different from the earlier Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And how the author of John's Gospel was deliberately emphasizing Jesus' divinity to reflect his socioeconomic and political situation in the latter part of the first century, and using terms like Johannine ecclesiology and high Christology to explain why Jesus had this seemingly lofty view of himself in John 15. But as I was having this advanced theological discussion in my own mind, one of the foster care leaders motioned that it was time for the girls to leave and go back to the ranch. And my teachable moment was gone. And that young woman went away into the night with her questions and her feeling that Jesus sounded pretty high and mighty, not somebody she'd like to be friends with. I found out later, after debriefing with Sarah, that every one of the girls from the ranch had experienced abuse, shocking, unspeakable abuse, before arriving at the safety of the foster ranch. And that's when I realized, hey, that's probably why that young woman was so hesitant to accept the words of a supposedly aggressive-sounding man who was claiming to be the Son of God. My heart hurt then for what I could only imagine that she'd gone through as a child, for how her questions hadn't been resolved that evening, for how Jesus seemed more like an enemy than a friend to her, for how an opportunity to show Jesus love and care for her might have been missed that night, for how the words, "I'm the vine, you're the branches, and apart from me you can do nothing," were words of exclusivity and despair instead of life and joy. Now, maybe it's not even fair to make a comparison because our childhood experiences were so different. But when I read or hear Jesus' words about the vine and the branches, I don't see exclusion or darkness. Instead, I can see bright, sparkly sunlight slanting through the morning sky in early summer. I can feel the rich South Carolina soil that my granddaddy had tilled and watered and fertilized, so it was just right to grow an abundant garden. I can smell the sharp, peppery fragrance of tomato vines pulsing with life as they stretch and curve around wooden stakes to hold them upright. I can see the tiny yellow flowers like little stars on the vines that give way to green fruit, and green fruit that ripens to a deep, warm red, meaning those tomatoes are ready to be canned or sliced fresh and put on sandwiches. I've seen vines and I've seen branches, and I know they mean life. I've also seen a vine grower like my granddaddy, and how he lovingly and painstakingly would care for the vines and branches so that the plant would flourish and it could then provide food to nourish and delight those beyond itself. And then I realized I'm not alone in my associations of tomato vines with John 15. As I was compiling the written reflections for next week's devotional booklet, I came across Myra McNally's entry. In her reflection, she was remembering her father, like my granddaddy, who was a vine grower who carefully tended his tomato plants. She said that at a certain point in a plant's development, her father would even shake the whole plant to help it grow. We can read more from Myra this coming week, but we can already imagine branches being shaken, maybe a little dirt flying off, that fresh, unique tomato smell being released into the air, the vines getting ready to burst forth with new life. And all of that new life flows in community from vine stalk to branches and leaves and fruit and all around and back again. Pinch a branch away from its source of life and the branch will look fine and green for a little bit, but then it withers, becomes brittle, and dies. All the parts of the plant need each other to live, truly live. And so do we. We, the people of Westminster, are a community. And like a plant, we need each other. Even our little daily devotionals are a glimpse of that. If you've been following along, whether in the print version, booklets, or online, you can hear a different voice from our community each day. Women and men, younger and older, people of all sorts of different backgrounds, all bringing their unique selves as they interact with the Word, and the Word interacts with them. And then they share with our community words that bring life. And then we need readers, too, not just writers of the devotional reflections. We all need each other in this community. We're all learning and walking together this Lent as we grow, as we abide together more deeply in the true vine, Jesus. Together in community, we do greater things than we ever could as lonely, withering, detached little branches. Several years ago, Zach and I were living in his hometown of Johnson City, Tennessee, and we were working at East Tennessee State University, his undergraduate alma mater, a school not unlike our SFA here in Nacogdoches. At ETSU, Zach was serving as a voice professor and also as the assistant to the director of choral activities. There was a long-standing tradition of this top-notch choral group at ETSU, and the premier ensembles were the chorale and a small select men's a cappella group, of which Zach had been a part when he was a student there. But what about an ensemble for the ladies of ETSU? At that time, there was no platform for them to shine as a vocal group. So the powers that be asked Zach to accomplish just that. Make us an advanced women's a cappella ensemble that can sing in a variety of styles, but especially pop and jazz. An ensemble that can entertain all ages, reach the donors, and attract high school students, they said. So Zach put a sign-up sheet for auditions outside his office door, and soon he selected 8 unique young women to become this new vocal ensemble. They were different colors and different sizes. They had different backgrounds, different majors, and different voice types. Each one was a great solo singer in her own right, but together, could they be a stellar ensemble, a vocal community? Since I was assigned to be their accompanist, I saw their story unfold. At the beginning, they were this motley little bunch, a bit awkward in rehearsal, not knowing who they were, their identity as an ensemble, not knowing how to do things, feeling a little like misfits in the shadow of their counterparts in the men's ensemble. But the thing is, their director knew what to do. Zach saw a potential in them that they might not have realized at first. And so they worked, and they rehearsed, and they persisted, and over time they began to understand who they were as individuals bound together in this one ensemble. They learned how to support each other, how vital each voice part was to the other. They learned how to move together on stage, and they learned how to meld their voices into chords so sweet it could pierce your heart. And then their sense of community also carried over into their lives outside the rehearsal classroom. You could see them walking together to and from classes. You could see them having lunch together. You could see them helping each other. After a while, the group grew from 8 to 12 members as they welcomed other young women into their community. And musically speaking, they grew into their own and became more than just the opening act for the other choral groups. These women became well-known and well-respected on campus and in the greater community, and eventually they traveled across the pond to London, England for their own performance tour, where they graced the stage of all sorts of venues, even the Royal Festival Hall, which was very exciting. These young women flourished. They flourished because they found out what it was to be in community. And Zach and I, whom they often called Dad and Mom, were part of their community. And their community actually still exists, even after we moved on to other jobs and other places, and the girls graduated and became doctors and musical performers and teachers and accountants and wives and mothers. The community shaped us all and helped us all live life more fully. Now, each of us probably has our own stories of how we've felt that sense of thriving community in our own lives. coming together to display a bountiful fair trade market at Christmas time, raising money and gathering canned food items to give to Nacogdoches Hope, sitting around a table and talking and sharing when we meet as Soul Sisters or Theology on Tap or Presbyterian Women, so many different and wonderful ways. We know we're better together. We also know the simple science that a flowering stem detached from the main plant won't last long on its own, even if we temporarily put it in a vase of water. And that's what Jesus was getting at in John 15, right? Be community. Be community with each other and stay rooted in me, because in me is life. Well, that is it, mostly. But there's one other thing we can't miss as we interact with the word today, and it has a lot to do with the vine grower. Our vine grower, God, likes to have hands dirty with growing things in the soil. God likes to sow seeds and plant things and nurture life. In our Old Testament reading from the prophet Jeremiah, God promises, "The days are surely coming when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seeds of humans and the seeds of animals. I will watch over them to build and to plant." We can imagine our God down on hands and knees in the midst of a softly tilled plot of earth, gently tending a green plant sprouting up with buds and tiny leaves on its little branches, because our God is that immediate, that close, wanting to be with us. Even in the lofty language of the Gospel of John, with its description of Jesus as the Word who was with God from the very beginning of the world, with these grand images of light and darkness and planets spinning and stars twinkling, we see a God who just longs to be in community with God's beloved creatures. As John tells us in that first chapter, the Word became flesh and lived among us. We have a vine grower who loves us so much as to put on flesh and be with us. It's so different from how the young lady from the Foster Ranch seemed to view God the other night at youth group. In Jeremiah and in the Gospel of John, we actually find a God who is not distant, arrogant, or exclusive. Jesus is not saying, "Join my club and be a part of me, or otherwise you are cast out." Instead, we find Jesus, the Word made flesh, saying, "Be with me and find life, abundant and true life." And the Word is also saying, "You don't just need me, I want to be with you too." The vine and the branches are a vital part of each other, and it's not just one directional. It's easy to say that we as creatures, as branches, need God, our source of life. But it might feel kind of silly or theologically awkward to say the flip side of that, that God needs us. But a key part of the gospel message, though, is that we see throughout the written word is that our God is a very social God, a connected God, a God who longs to be with. We have a God who is the source of life and love and longs to share that life and love in community with us. I felt sad leaving our combined youth group with Austin Heights the other night. I felt like I missed my chance with that young woman who had so many questions and felt so disconnected from the God she saw in John 15. But here's the thing. That's not the only time we'll be in community with the folks from Austin Heights. We're going back, and they're going to be joining us over here for various youth activities too. And I really hope I can see that young woman again. I hope that I or someone else in our greater community will be able to reach out and help her to feel most welcome and most loved. Next time, I'm not going to be so concerned with the correct answers to give her about her faith questions. Instead, I'm going to focus on community with her and with all of the youth, because the thing about community is we don't all have to agree to be in community. We don't all have to be the same or in the same place in our journeys. If we think back to those tomato vines, the fruits on the vine are all different, aren't they? Some of them are a deep orangey red and ready to eat. Others are bright green and still early in the process. Others are somewhere in between, green with pinkish streaks and patches, but all of them are growing together on the vine. All of them are so alive. It's the nourishment surging from the central vine to and through them that makes them all so full of life together. And so it is with us. In all of our common ground and in all of our differences, as we live together in Christ, as we live in community with the God who loves us. Amen. And now will you stand with me and we'll proclaim our faith using the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, as found in our bulletins. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. And let us join together in prayer. Creator God, we praise you for the beauty of springtime bursting forth all around us, for bright daffodils, for the azalea bushes here, for trees with fresh green leaf buds. We thank you, Lord, that we can see glimpses of your love for us in these living, growing things. We see stalks and trunks and the branches, leaves, flowers, and fruits attached to them, and it's there that we can see an image of how we are to be connected to each other and to you, fully alive and bonded together in Jesus Christ. Help each of us stay rooted in Christ, our true vine, learning from him, walking with him, and help us to stay connected to each other, our sisters and brothers in Christ, and always keep welcoming others into this community of faith. We thank you that you are a God who wants to be with us, and you are the one who always includes, always loves, always nourishes us with life. As we come before you today, we bring to you the cares and concerns that have been weighing on each of our hearts, and as a community, we also carry each other's concerns. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, whether they have been grieving that loss for several days or several years. We pray for peace, comfort, and hope for them, and for the understanding that in life and in death, each of us belongs to you. We pray for the teachers and students in our community, that they have been refreshed by a few days of spring break, a few days off from school, and that they can return in this upcoming week full of life and ready for all those things that happen in the busy last several weeks of a spring semester. We pray for our city, our state, our nation, and our world as we seek your kingdom, where love and peace reign. And as your beloved children, we also lift up these people and situations to you, with the church responding, Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers.
The Burgess family.
Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, hear our prayers. Filled with life and love, we are now bold to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. And now, friends, let us go forth full of life and love, knowing that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with us now and always. Amen.
Thank you. He said, "You look like somebody's mom. You've got mom hair." I said, "I am somebody's mom."
Yes. Oh, wow. So Wonder Woman beats somebody's mom. But I am glad to be somebody's mom. But you know what I mean.